live from Radio Row at the New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Moving into the evening here. We're going to do golf with the evening here, day two. Media Row. Adam Hill is here. We have him for all 3 hours. Tremendous interviews lined up in NOLA. It's Cofield. Cofield and Company. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. All of our Super Bowl coverage. Also, our pals at Circle Las Vegas and our other pals at Treasure Island. Busy day. Busy day. Good stuff on the way. A lot of Raiders talk to get to. A little bit of basketball preview. Remember, there is a running Rebel game tonight against Boise. This will be the first matchup between these two teams that I've missed in years and years. I always loved to see Leon Rice. Leon at the Thomas and Mack. What a gem. What a gem. We had one of our best spots with the Boise coach, what was it, 2 years ago, where we confronted him for pumping his fist in the face of Dave Rice, and he finally got it. He was like, I'm sorry. Dave's such a good guy. I'm like, yeah, that's part of the problem. Not Dave's problem, your problem. Your image problem in Vegas, Leon.
Somebody brought up to me the other day, like, why hasn't Leon Rice got a job somewhere? I was like, because he's a jerk.
I don't think he's a jerk.
I do.
I think he seems like a jerk to opposing fans because he complains a lot.
And to, you know, athletes at other universities, like New Mexico baseball players.
That was epic. We didn't, you know, we've covered, it just, unfortunately, there's so much going on. We haven't covered a ton of the Mountain West Conference basketball season, and I hadn't planned on it here. I was just doing a quick pop. But I thought there was another, I think, do you want to explain that story real quick?
I don't remember all the details. He was mad at them in the hallway.
Well, because the baseball team mysteriously walked around the Boise basketball team. I think it was in the pregame.
Yeah, I thought it was post, but it could have been pregame, yeah.
Whatever it was, I thought I saw messages last game when Boise was in New Mexico that New Mexico had, like, archives of Lobo baseball playing on a big screen while Boise practiced. Nice. I haven't gotten that confirmed, but
I like it.
The things that make conferences magical.
They should do that.
Why not, right?
Of course.
Keep the angst alive.
I would think so.
Okay, I'm going to show you something. I'm finally part of your nation. I needed a snack.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know this, but on the road, I will hoard food. It's basically because of this experience. When you come to the Super Bowl, woe is us, poor media guys. You're here all day long at Media Row, and a lot of times you don't take a break to eat. Not that, you know, I need to be eating all the time, but a little nourishment throughout the day, right? And so I will hoard snacks.
Sure,
I have emergency snacks.
This one does.
This is my new emergency snack that I've been able to pluck on the road. I'm in.
Where'd you get it?
I'm in. The hotel in Reno.
Wait, you've had that for days?
Yes. I said I hoard snacks. I have them on me all the time.
Wow.
Because there are cases where sometimes you're working, you don't get to have a snack. Get a G-damn snack. And yes, I've been... This came on the trip back from the biggest little city all the way here to New Orleans in my bag. I will tell you, last night... walking back to the hotel in New Orleans, I decided to buy some food. It was way too much for me to eat late night. It'll probably go to Laramie, Wyoming. I may keep it. Yes. That's why I'm healthy, and that's why I never get sick.
I'm going to say that you definitely had more than one Uncrustable.
I only have one on a trip. I have one per trip the last three trips.
I could have swore there was a wrapper at the Airbnb today. Did John get one also?
He must have, because this is the only one I had.
Okay.
Yep. I bought you guys cookies. Did you see the peanut butter cookies?
I saw.
They're good. I bought you, I got some Yingling.
Oh, I don't know that.
We're back in college, yeah. I didn't go to college with you, and I'm a lot older, but.
I would have had one.
Those little baby waters, it's for you guys. We're the gang. We're on the road, man.
This is the first time learning there's a refrigerator there.
Well, let's just say you have been burning some kind of oil, not
sure.
Midnight.
Sure.
Definitely not midnight.
Sure.
You love New Orleans.
It's great.
So do I.
It's great.
And we're all adults, so sometimes we just split up.
It happens.
Yeah, there's no...
Hey, whenever you get back, you get back.
Like Vegas, there's no time. It's 24 hours. Everything's open all night, so... Yeah,
there's lots of bars that are open 24-7. Yeah. So it's been good so far.
It's a great time.
But we're professional. I think we banged out... You know, a lot of the stuff we do, Super Bowl week, we talk to people during the day, and we play those interviews for you. So I think we talked to 53 people today.
Sounds about right. I think that's maybe one or two higher or lower.
Paige Sporanic, golfer and gambler. That's pretty much what she's known for. And Will Hernandez will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Will, of course, is a Shap guy. I didn't ask him about Ray Brewer. That would have been annoying. And I'm sure he would have been like, who? Because Ray's much older. Las Vegas Sun
boss.
He's
old man.
Yeah. But Will Hernandez is in. And we got some other current football players in the NFL. Some legends. Brief time with the Raiders, Gerald McCoy. I don't like telling you all the interviews we have because I want to leave it as a surprise. But, yes, I'm part of the Uncrustable Nation. By the way, we never mentioned what it was. It was an Uncrustable peanut butter and jelly. We have talked about this a lot. I don't know the official number. Did you do the story or someone did a feature on the amount of Uncrustables that are eaten around the NFL in a season? And it was like tens of thousands. It is the snack of choice. I'm not going to say I don't get it because it is very good.
Yeah.
It's very nourishing. It's a lot of value. I eat them and I'm like, I don't think I can finish it.
Well, also, it tastes good. And one of the issues, and I've said it many times, that a peanut butter and jelly would be a great sandwich that, you know, would be even better for a lot of people if there was some sort of way to really get the consistency of, like, peanut butter and jelly with each bite. It's so hard to spread the right amount. I can't do it. I always end
too
up
clumpy.
Just, like, cutting the bread in half, like, somehow. So, like, this, the Uncrustable, does it, you know, in a machine manner that does spread things evenly. So you get, like, equal flavor in each bite.
Last night, part of your night, because you refused to go to dinner with us.
I didn't have dinner.
We got some lovely gumbo. I know you were busy all day, and you had some snacks along the way. The commish fed you. You went to the commish invite-only, one of 40 media people in the world. You are one of the top 40 NFL journalists in the entire world.
I don't think it works that way. I think not everybody was here yet this week.
You'd still be top 40.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think it is.
It's pretty exclusive. Take credit for it. And then you went to opening night, and that, I don't know, I saw one guy who's Eskin's kid, Spike, right? He's on air now. In Philly, was complaining about, he just said it was useless and pointless.
It's funny. I wonder if there was a guy on the media shuttle that I was on that was just wearing an Eagles jersey. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what it's become.
There's a lot of them here.
And he had, like, a very Philly voice.
Yeah.
And was already, like, you know, kind of complaining about stuff on the way there. But I wonder if it was him that did it. I don't mind the goofiness, the silliness of media night. Like, a lot of media people do. They get all annoyed about it. I think it's fine. And
it's a very wide-ranging event. The world is here. It's not just for the sports dorks.
Yeah. And you know, by the way, like, they do the podiums with, like, the top 11 or 12 guys from each team. But other guys are just kind of standing there. Like, you
there's
can
so
grab,
much availability.
You can grab so many guys, like, get stories done for the week. That's what I did. I mean, there's two local kids in the game. That's who I wanted to talk to.
Did you talk to Hicks?
I did.
I'm going to talk to his mom, I think, later in the week. We're going to book his mom.
Wait, what?
Yeah, why not? What?
Why? Okay.
I got a call today, and they were like, hey, you should talk to his mom. She's cool.
Seriously?
Like, all right. I talk to anyone down there. I don't care.
It'll be interesting. It'll be cool. But I'm very distracted now. I'm very confused by what the...
I don't know. Figure out what the hook is.
Well, I feel like that's an inside joke of some...
It's not a joke at all. I swear to God.
Okay.
Someone called
it's great.
Me.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. It'll help you.
I'll tell you in the break. It's weird.
Oh, I think maybe I screwed up now. Maybe I misrelated.
No, I thought you were messing. I do have a connection to the family. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm friends with his sister. She's great. And
okay,
then
so that wasn't that impressive. A book.
I thought you were. It's fine. I actually tried to pull like a. I'll even give the behind the scenes story on that since you brought it up. I didn't know what was going on there. I am friends with Jaden's sister and awesome family. Such a cool family. And I walked up to Jaden. I was like, hey, I know you get a lot of weird requests on media day. Can you just say hi to my friend? She's on FaceTime. And he was like, okay, I guess so. And then I took my phone out, and it was his sister. And he was like, oh, that's great. It was like a cool moment and obviously a good way to bridge into the interview. But, I mean, he's always been a great kid and family's cool. So, yeah, that was awesome talking to him. And then Nick Gates, obviously from the Eagles, another local athlete. So got to talk to them. But the whole point is it is a mess. But last night, the way that they had set it up, there was just way too many people in way too small of an area. So last year at Allegiant Stadium, you got to use the whole field. All of Allegiant Stadium field, you got to use
it. I was at the opening night in Phoenix, and they used the whole basketball arena.
Right.
And, I mean, it filled it up like halfway.
But the reason they could use the whole stadium, the whole field at Allegiant is because they didn't have the grass in there. They had turf that they weren't going to use, so they didn't mind it. In the stadium,
no tray
they don't want any media people on the actual field.
Right.
So you could only stand on the sidelines. So everybody jammed – the amount of people that were there last year on the entire field were all jammed into the two sidelines this year. And it did not work logistically. And I'll say also that – and again, this is not – for people that are like, oh, I need to go to these things. Like, just telling you what happened there.
Just telling you what it's like.
The Eagles one was at 7. Literally, I was just watching people, like, on the verge of passing out, freaking out. Everybody was so jammed in together. And even the players are amongst this mix. It didn't make any sense. And then a lot of them left. They didn't stay for the Chiefs one because I'm telling you, it was that bad. It was that uncomfortable and that bad that they left. So then for the Chiefs, was very cool. Like it got to be, you know, you were just out there, plenty of space, plenty of people to talk to. I actually went and, like I said, I talked to Jaden, went to talk to like three teammates, and I even asked Andy Reid a question about Jaden. Like, it was okay. Like, you just walk around and
I think it's funny,
just ask questions.
Because I saw other people like, no access, didn't get anything done. Try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try. Don't get freaking wrapped up in a ball of
and also don't
not
leave.
Even sorrow, of anger.
Also, don't leave.
And that's me telling. Yeah, and that's.
I stayed. Around. I stayed and benefited from that. But yeah, it's not a complaint to say, like, it was physically uncomfortable for a lot of people that were out there. And that's why a lot of them left.
In less than 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Jay Cicero, because I love New Orleans. Adams loves New Orleans. And he's the CEO of the host committee. So there's always some good nuggets in there about the city. And we know we loved all over the Las Vegas folks a year ago. So much to get into. Much to get into. You should do spots with him tomorrow and tag along and vouch for what you've seen. The safety of the city. Yep. You have walked everywhere.
Yeah.
You walk in areas, and I come here all the time. I'm like, it's kind of barren over there, but I guess it's not as barren. And the other thing is, folks, I don't know why this is important to Vegas. Well, we're going to have a Super Bowl again down the road, and we want to make sure it's safe. And obviously with the jackass who, you know, floored his pickup truck down Bourbon, they like this place is so – like if you don't feel secure, I didn't know they had this many police officers here.
Yeah.
I think in a day within my vision, I think I saw 200 police cars yesterday. They've got
I think more.
It's like you know, you and I will go to Mexico every once in a while, not with each other, but like when you go, and what was it? Nogales is one of the cities I've gone to in the past. Like you go and like it's hardcore. Like they got the federales are up there with rifles and everything, and you're like, okay, I guess you know, like you feel safe, and you're also like, what the hell? They have National Guard. Everywhere here.
Yeah. And
it's quite comforting.
I mean, the shifts that the cops must be working too,
because
it's all day. It's during the day, all day. You see them everywhere. Last couple nights I've been out like, you know, 4:30, 5 a.m. They're everywhere. It's like, when do they rest? They don't. They're working. They're on every corner, walking
everywhere
up and down
too.
The streets.
Because I didn't just walk Bourbon Street last night. I went down to Jackson Square for people in New Orleans. It's safe over there, and it's in the quarter, French Quarter. But, it, you know, there can be some dark alleys and stuff, and you just turn a corner, and there's, like, two National Guard guys just hanging out, working. Oh, they're down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
It's, I think somebody asked me last night, do you feel more safe or less safe with all this presence? And I was like, kind of less. But it is safe. Like, there's no question about it. It is safe, and they are making sure that everyone knows, like, they're going to make sure nothing happens.
I love it.
And it's not just, obviously,
opening,
not just...
Opening couple days have been awesome here.
Not just about the incident. I mean, there's a history of an issue that they've had with crime in the past. Not just one, you know, massive incident that we witnessed on New Year's. It's, you know, it's something that people have complained about here in the past. And they're not going to let that happen right now.
Griffin's back in the Finley Toyota Studios. Cofield and Company live on Radio Row. Media Row. 59, Media Row 59 here on this Tuesday. When we come back, we are going to delve into what New Orleans has to offer, some of the food, some of the other events, and Jay Cicero from the host committee here will join Cofield and Company.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw on ESPN Las Vegas.
Giveaway time early here to Tuesday, 364-1100, caller 7-364-1100. Pickleball, celebrity pickleball, tennis legend pickleball. The Agassi, Steffi, and Andre facing off against Andy Roddick, Eugenie Bouchard. Pickleball Slam Sunday, February 16th. AXS.com is where you can get your tickets. The MUA, Mandalay Bay, Make Ultra Arena. Again, Sunday, February 16th, AXS.com. We got a four-pack right now. 364-1100, 364-1100. Adam, you look confused.
No, I'm good.
You're good to go?
Just letting you, tell people about the great prize they can win.
There you go. A couple minutes ago, we talked to the guy who's kind of running this whole thing, the host of the Super Bowl committee, Jay Cicero. We got a lot of good advice in this, and we also know a good deal about New Orleans, but he taught us a lot. It felt really good after the interview. Started off this portion of the interview saying, hey, you know what, you got the Super Bowl this year. We know you were in Vegas last year. What did you learn by being around Las Vegas for Super Bowl 58?
It was quite an experience. We were there for, I think, eight or nine days last year, which is too long to spend anywhere, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was we had a great experience there, and I'm sure the league is going to go some point in time, but you know, New Orleans is a fan favorite and a league favorite, you know, again hosting 11 Super Bowls. I was kind of joking with some of the folks from the Las Vegas events last year. You know, they're so proud to host the first one. I said, well, you know, this will be our 11th. They're like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah. So think of how long it would take to host 11 if you hosted it every 10 years in Vegas. Right. And they're like, oh, we'll be long gone by then. I'm like, yeah, we will be. But that was a short comparison.
Sorry to cut you off. Jay Cicero is with us, head of the host committee here in New Orleans. We're on Radio Row. The conversation is brought to you by Paul Padilaw. All right, let's get to serious stuff. Advice on having a good time in New Orleans. We already did this on our own, the research. I don't know if you drink these drinks, but... Hurricane, hand grenade, the swamp, purple drank, and the hurricane. Yeah. We had all five on Sunday night. It was
a welcome to New Orleans.
One each?
Multiples of a couple.
We all had one each, and we had multiples. Yeah, I think we got to like seven total, five different drinks, and I have no idea how I got back to my hotel. Yeah. So the city's safe. Yeah.
The city's safe. Somebody got you there. Yeah. Somebody got you back safely.
Yep.
Man, that's no, I cannot do that.
How about one?
I like hurricanes. O'Brien is one of my favorites.
That's where we actually started because Adam Hill over here was like, "Hey, they
I'm actually friends with the owners of Pat O'Brien's, and they're great folks, and they got quite a legacy there. And what they do, nobody else can do. It's amazing.
So this is I've never been here before. This is my first time I've ever been in New Orleans. And outside of the drinking and whatnot, Steve has watched me with my neck up and looking at everything. The architecture and the culture it's awesome, and it's so unique. So I guess, like, why is that important for people to know? When you guys are advertising, I haven't even seen it in the logo, you see the hints of the culture about here. Why is it important for people to know about?
You know, when we started thinking about what our logo was going to be, what our themes were going to be, how we're going to present this to the league after it was awarded in the last two or three years, it kept coming up, history and culture. History and culture. That's what New Orleans is all about, and we have a history of hosting, obviously, 10 previous Super Bowls. So why not lean into that? And everything that we've done as a host committee has leaned into this history of 10 Super Bowls, now 11, with our unique culture. The league has really bought into it. They worked with a local artist, a beat artist. Her name is Queen Taj, to create the game logo. I don't know if you guys know that, but she's a local beat artist for Mardi Gras. And so if you look closely at the actual logo, it's beads in it.
Wow.
And she created the logo. She actually did that. And so it's the first time that the league has ever done that outside of the creative staff of the NFL to create a game logo.
It's Cofield and Company, Jay Cicero. Last couple of questions. He's from the host committee here in New Orleans. I know you have a lot of events, and I'm sure you'd like to promote all of them. Mm-hmm. Give us a go-to event or two the rest of the week that people from Vegas coming in for the Super Bowl should attend.
Okay, I've got two or three. So there's obviously the Super Bowl experience here at the Convention Center.
Yeah.
I think tickets start at $20 and they go up to $40. That's affordable. But we have three free events for folks to attend. First of all, is the lighting, historic lighting of the historic St. Louis Cathedral. It's map lit, much like Caesar's was, I think, last year. But it's on this historic cathedral, and there's two historic buildings, a cabildo and a presbytery, right next to it. It's a 3.5-minute show to music every 30 minutes, and then in between there is New Orleans area and Louisiana area artist artwork on these buildings.
Wow.
It is fascinating. That started Sunday. It's
starts and that is at where? Is that by Jackson Square?
At Jackson Square.
So we were there last night.
Oh, you saw it.
Talking about this?
That.
Yeah. That, I'm holding for our audience. Blown away.
That is Becky Foss, who is a Louisiana artist. That is her artwork on the St. Louis
this
Cathedral.
This is what I was talking. This was incredible. I love that experience. It was great.
It's amazing. So that's one. Number two, we have Louisiana Culture Fest, which y'all should go down to. It's at the French Market. It's on the other end of the French Quarter. The French Market is hosting that. It's Friday and Saturday. It's free to the public. You'll see all kinds of Louisiana culture, music, obviously food and drink there like we always have. But we're also having a Super Bowl host committee parade on Saturday morning from 10 to noon. It starts on Decatur Street and a quarter right near Jackson Square. Goes up Porter Street and ends on St. Charles Avenue in the warehouse district here. But it's an authentic Mardi Gras parade, but with Super Bowl sponsored floats. So they are created specifically for this parade. So they have the rights to all the intellectual property of the league and the game and stuff like that. So Blaine Kern's Mardi Gras World has and Barry Kern, his son, has created all of these floats for these sponsors. They're going to have custom floats, custom throws. We have Southern and LSU marching bands in the parade. High school bands, like you heard last night at opening night. St. Aug band, that was incredible. The marching groups that go in it. It's everything you want a Mardi Gras parade to be in, but it's Super Bowl themed.
Are you on a float?
I am not on a float. Oh, okay. I'm near the end of it. I'll be at the end, the first part, and I'll be at the end of it. Where we have all of our sponsors and VIPs. It's going to be a fun awesome day.
So last minute, we're asking everyone this. They're all out-of-towners, but you should have a really good answer. for us and for the people coming here, what is your go-to regional food?
I love Italian food. I'm Italian. Both sides of my family are Sicilian. And there's a lot of Sicilian history in the French Quarter, believe it or not.
Very rich history.
there are several restaurants that I love. One is Irene's in the Quarter. Italian Barrel is a Sicilian restaurant there, also. Yeah. But anywhere we can get Italian food in the Quarter, that's always my favorite.
All right. Well, that was offbeat, right? I was expecting etouffee or gumbo or jambalaya or what'd you get?
Everybody knows about that.
Yeah. So you gave us a real snitch. Catfish for the first time the other day. It was incredible.
Oh, we have some at our booth today, so come by.
Oh, there you go. All right. I've been looking for food all day. I'm in. Jay, thank you so much, and you guys are already doing a great job. We've enjoyed ourselves so far.
Well, I'm glad you are. Thank you.
We meant it. Jay Cicero, CEO of the host committee for the Super Bowl in New Orleans. A couple of great things there at the end. First of all, I'm an ass, and I'm like, been there. So I got to talk over him as he's popping a place down the way. And second part is, I'm like, you know, we're going to ask everyone this question about your favorite food in New Orleans.
He's the only one you asked.
He's the only guy I asked. The purpose of the question was out-of-towner so far. He's from here.
Yeah.
Completely forgot.
Failure.
It's every day.
You also set it up by saying we're going to ask everybody.
Yep.
And
then
didn't.
Completely forgot.
Huh.
Well, you're supposed to be here to remind me, you know, of my feebleness, my aged nature.
It's true. But I think it's part of the fun if you don't.
We shouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have, you know what, dump that. Dump the last minute. We were cursing the whole time. Dump, 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 dump.
We're only going to ask you.
Yes.
Yeah.
We could have had everyone tuning in the rest of the show. Like, sure. I can't wait to hear...
What is everybody else going to say?
What's some football player from 1984 has to say?
You're not
mocking on those people. I like the players of the 80s. Adam Hill's here, or if I can speak. Adam Hill is here. It's Cofield. Coming up next, we have a good conversation. Paper towel people are here. They're giving out wings. So we talked some chicken wings. We got a couple of the current. We got Cowboys on.
Controversial subject.
I know. Very controversial subject. So we'll grab a couple of the Cowboys. You got that coming back in Cofield and Company Day 2 at Media Row.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Brought to you by the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar on ESPN Las Vegas.
Music perfect. Very serious subject. Hardcore football. Now, we talked about chicken wings with Zach Martin and Brandon Aubrey from the Cowboys. JBT hunted them down and kind of set the scene. He's like, hey, have you guys been here before? And Aubrey answers.
I've been here for a bachelor party, but don't remember much.
Okay, so that was Sunday night for us. Yeah, but the problem is you guys are in shape, guys. There's a lot of sugary drinks. And we did the whole tour.
You like the Hurricanes?
The Hurricanes were fantastic, but they go down too easy.
Yeah.
And then I have two or three, and all of a sudden you're sitting around, and you're like, oh, hey, how did I get back in my hotel room? So you guys had a pretty interesting year for Dallas. I want to talk about Bounty here, too. But you guys have a change at the top. So, you know, Zach, we'll start with you. But Brian Schottenheimer is going to be at the top. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's great. You know, I think everyone in that building's got a lot of confidence in Shotty and, you know, what he's brought to the team in the last 2 years. And, you know, he's been a coordinator for a long time and know he's wanted to be a head coach. And for him to have the opportunity to do that at a place like Dallas is going to be great for him. And, you know, I know everyone in that building has his back.
Absolutely. The man knows football. He's well respected and well liked by all the players. I think he'll do a fantastic job. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, so I wanted to ask you, us Lemmings, right, we all kind of view special teams as pretty isolated from, like, the whole thing. So head coaching change, like, what does that mean for you as a kicker for the special teams, like things that maybe we don't usually discuss because we're always talking about offense, we're always talking about defense. Yep, but from a special teams perspective, what does the head coaching change do for you?
Yeah, head coaching change, usually I'd say you'd have to build confidence with that coach and earn his trust. Obviously, he's been in the building, so hopefully he has that trust in me and that confidence in me to start from the season. But, you know, it's different play calls. It's different ranges he's comfortable calling field goal from, where he calls punt, where those lines change, how aggressive he wants to be. And, you know, Mike was a very aggressive field goal chance taker, so it was awesome getting to kick with him and see how Shotty calls it.
Do you enjoy this analytical age where guys are foregoing kicks to go for it more often on fourth down? What does that mean for a guy like you? Because your confidence for you is, oh, I'm just great, and I can nail it for most distances. But this change in the way that play calling is happening, from a kicker's perspective, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, you want, at the end of the day, you're a football player. You want to win games, and whatever gives you an edge in winning games, you love that. Don't really care about going for it on fourth down or not. I just want to win games. And when they call my number, they call my number enough. So go out there and make the kicks they put me in front of.
All right, so all of us media members are eating free wings and whatnot. Yeah. So walk us through what's going on here with Bounty and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, we're here with Bounty. I mean, obviously, over Super Bowl weekends, everyone's eating wings, and, you know, you can't have football without wings, and you can't have wings without Bounty. So they're here supporting us, and we're here supporting them.
Drums or flats?
Both.
Flats.
Okay.
Flats?
All day.
You can't do that. So we were just talking. We were talking about this earlier, and I made the statement when we were eating wings. I said, if you say you like flats, then you're just trying to be different.
No, dude, the drumstick's got all the crunchy, like, parts that aren't even chicken on there. The flat, you get it nice, you peel it down, one bite, it's off the bone.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like that feels different. All right, so classic buffalo, lemon pepper, what's the main flavor?
Yeah, I go like spicy garlic is my favorite flavor with ranch, okay, too. How you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm pro ranch.
Okay.
We have a buddy that's from Buffalo that works, you know, covers the Raiders, and he talks all the time, makes fun of me because I hate blue cheese.
Yeah. Yeah,
blue cheese is absolutely disgusting.
It's sticky and gross.
Yes. So, all right, I'll get you guys out of here on this. You know, just what we look forward to next year. We talked a little bit about Schottenheimer, but your guys' individual goals for next year. I'd be curious to see, like, what you want to achieve for next season.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get healthy first and foremost. Yeah. So, you know, I had surgery, you know, about a month and a half ago. So that's the first and foremost for me is getting healthy. And then I'm just kind of figuring out my future. You know, I'm a free agent and trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yep. For me, simple, 90% on field goals.
It's okay.
Cut and dry.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
That was fascinating. There's so much follow-up to get to. I'm going to do that. We'll do that at the top of the 4 hour and the big four. Zach Martin, Brandon Aubrey, Cowboys, kicker, O-lineman. The take on the wings was controversial.
Trash tape.
Then he tried to bait them into the blue cheese and ranch battle. I mean, like, Zach Martin is a little older, but what is he, 34? He's a giant man, and Von Tobel, like, was ready to go.
He backed off pretty quickly.
Who did? JVT?
Yeah.
Because I you could feel the energy. Zach Martin's like, what? And then he made sense. Made absolute sense. All right, we'll build on that.
He didn't.
No. That's coming up in the Big Four. Don't spoil it. John forgot to ask him about their favorite New Orleans food, too. So apparently it's wings.
The wings, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to talk about the paper towel as well. I'm highly impressed. But on the way back, I didn't know this. Is it Marvel? What's the other one? What's the other universe? Marvel and what's the competition?
I don't know.
DC.
Oh, DC.
Sure.
He was Marvel, right? Gerald McCoy's coming up. And
I don't know.
Goes right into like superhero talk, and it was another head-to-head battle where I was like, do you see the size of this man? Gerald McCoy, be careful.
Back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, presented by Circa Sports on ESPN Las Vegas.
We're going to talk to Gerald McCoy at the start of the 4 o'clock hour. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. Nice job today by Danny Smythe and Jared and Nye Zaragoza. Helping us secure a bunch of cool guests. I can't wait 15 minutes to talk about the Brandon Aubrey.
There's a lot there to dissect.
And Zach Martin conversation with JVT. John is one of our top guys. When he can do the show. He's doing a great job on VSiN. He was tasked with the assignment. Because every once in a while you can't get people here, the guests, to come over to your set because they're busy, right? So the two Cowboys are hanging out by the bounty stand. I'll give them the pop, free pop, right?
I have one of the paper towels.
I'll do a full throated endorsement, even though I don't get a penny for this. I don't buy these because I'm just like, wow, they're a little more than my paper thin garbage that I bought. Whatever the cheapest one is, like 38 cents a roll. This is thicker than the towels at our hotel.
That's fair.
You could use a roll of this paper towel and dry yourself off in a shower.
I think you should do it.
And it's multi-use. But here's the key. Because I have takes on everything. And they're mostly not good. Here's the key. The SO, significant other, is way too liberal with her use of paper towels. She is out of control. I barely use them. And I feel guilty when I do. This would be one use, and she would throw it out. And then we'd be done, because I would mentally break.
When you said two liberals use, I thought she's rolling off like 6-7 in a row just using this massive paper towel. I thought that's what you meant.
They have the
you
small
mean you want her
now.
To reuse the paper towel?
Yes, because unless it's an extreme case of moppage, you're really not wiping up a whole lot. And she, like I said, she uses them too often. This is quite the household.
Throw it away.
It's quite the household, this lady.
You can't both get the cheap paper towels and want her to be more.
They're multi-use too.
No.
This is a week.
Yeah, if she had that, maybe she wouldn't do it.
I would use four slices of this a week.
What you're saying is that
a month, I guess.
You buy the cheap paper towels, yes, and then get mad that she's not, and then they're falling apart whenever she wipes them on. You know that.
No, she doesn't.
And then
do
you're
that.
Getting mad.
I do that.
But you're getting mad that she's no. If you're using the cheap paper towels, you're not reusing them.
I am.
If you're buying this, sounds like we're literally here doing an endorsement of bounty.
I that was the second mention. I don't know why you did that. No, I will. I'll use it and then I'll hide it. Like you're not using mine.
So you can reuse it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
It's a very stringent household. We're on a budget. Like, do you want the 14th TV app? From a budget standpoint, then paper towels have to, that's where you get the hit.
No, but if you're buying the cheap paper towels, you can't be reusing them or, you know, only asking her to use like a half of a square.
Yeah.
Like, you can use extra paper towels, and you can use a lot of them if you're buying the cheap ones.
It's Cofield, it's Adam Hill. Let's talk about my philosophy
on
multi-use with the toilet paper, too.
Hold on.
That was a joke.
No, but the fact that you have, like, a strong take about paper towel usage, least surprising thing about you.
I know. I think about I obsess and think about everything, and if it has to do with frugality, I'm all in.
You're very much into repurposing.
Look, I showed you earlier.
Yeah.
The freaking snack is 5 days old. It's in the wrapper. It's good. It's smushed to hell.
I don't know if it is.
It's still pretty fresh. It's still pretty fresh.
You, right. You haven't eaten it yet, though. You don't know.
Fire me some JVT talking wings with – technically, these guys are wing experts. They're manning a wing stand for the paper towel company.
I don't think
one,
they're,
one is
I don't
gigantic.
Think they're experts.
Play the experts.
Drums or flats?
Both.
Flats.
Okay.
Flats?
All
day. You can't do that. So we were just talking about we were talking about this earlier, and I made the statement when we were eating wings. I said if you say you like flats, then you're just trying to be different.
No, dude, the drumstick's got all the crunchy like parts that aren't even chicken on there. The flat, you get it nice, you peel it down, one bite, it's off the bone.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like that feels different. All right.
So the
John was beside himself. Well, Martin was pissed.
Well, some of the backstory here is that me and JVT literally had this debate 20 minutes before he talked
about it. It was fresh in his mind.
It was very fresh. And there wasn't much of a debate. We were obviously on the side of drums. That's the sane side, the normal side, the rational side. Now, John is obviously wrong about his stupid ranch dressing. That's not even real wings of used ranch. But drums are the way to go.
Here's what I appreciated.
Strong take.
Yes. He paused, and he's a big guy. He's like, I'm not going to punch this guy. I'm going
to
be...
Wanted to.
Yeah. I actually, his logic on the drums is kind of correct. Now, here's the thing. I'm an animal, so if I could eat the bone on the drum, I would eat the bone. All that chewy stuff, I'm like, yep, it's going to go down. My body will process it. It's meat. Because it can be kind of gnarly sometimes to chew through. And if you're like, I think I saw Jared eat a wing the other day. Yeah, I did, because we had some wings. And I think he did that long strip method, which I'm not going to do because I'll inevitably swallow it and choke.
Well, do you do if you're using the flat, do you do the pop-out where you tap the wing end to end?
I think he actually did it with his teeth. Like, he just put it in and ripped it out.
Savage.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for this one? Tell me if this is gross. I think I've told the story before. If I get wings with the SO, with my girlfriend, she doesn't eat the wing properly.
She doesn't eat all the chicken off of it?
Nope.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like she won't, like, sir!
I should also see you
work counting, the bone!
Like weighing the weight of the meat, the wings, too.
Like a contest.
And screaming at her that she didn't eat it properly or didn't eat enough of it. And then she's trying to wipe the wing sauce off, and you're like, too much paper towel!
No.
Like, all right.
Let's go glass overflowing. I'm gonna point this out to the women. I don't even say anything. I don't like yell at her about the drum is not stripped.
This is worse. You're quietly judging.
No. Did I finish what I was gonna say?
Oh, you wait. Do you pick off the meat from her chicken wing?
I'll grab it. And eat
that's kind of disgusting.
What are you talking about? That's true love.
It's kind of gross.
Whatever slobbers on it. I'm like, there's still chicken on there.
No, you can't reuse the chicken wing for another person.
It's not like I don't store it for a day. If we're out and she's had a weak performance stripping the bone,
I think
sounds very perverted. But if she doesn't deliver to my liking, I'm eating the rest of the chicken. There's no chicken on them anyway, and they're where was the last place I was at? I mean, it's what are they $60 a pound now? You're not going to eat every freaking ounce.
I mean,
they're pricey.
I'll be with you if you're talking
it's
about
more than a steak now,
like a crab leg, where you really don't get to much of the meat. It's just so hard each one.
Yeah.
And if somebody leaves too much there, you're like, all right, I'm gonna take that. But the chicken wing, you're like, it's a gross food to eat. If you watch anybody eat a wing, it's a disgusting endeavor.
I hated it. I hated things so much for MD.
Oh yeah,
remember when they got Mark Davis
camera?
Up in the booth and because Mark's a man after my heart. I guarantee Mark is like, I'm getting all this meat.
And
by the way, he does it. This is where he's a next level man. I'm not brave enough to do this. He eats wings, digs into them, and he's wearing white.
Yeah, that's all the confidence.
He's got the white pullover, the white jacket, white pants.
It's a lot of confidence. There was
that. You know what? I got one other thought. That's when you're a billionaire. It's great to have that much money because I guarantee he's got a backup white outfit somewhere.
Like yeah.
If he's at the Chang's and he's throwing soy sauce all over his pants, his white pants, you know he's got a backup pair.
No, I think he swears him. I think he's fine with it. I'm
not reporting that. You're an insider, so if there's some stain gate that we don't know about.
And that makes it sound more scandalous than it really is.
It does,
but
yeah.
We had a conversation with a sports psychologist. I might hear it at some point later this week.
Yeah.
And he talked about he has a book about not thinking about what people think of you. Like, ignore, don't care what people think of you. It doesn't matter what people think of you.
Yeah.
They're going to think what they want to think. You just have to live your life and not even have that concern. Like, don't wear clothes thinking, oh, what's, is somebody going to not like the stain? Is somebody going to, like, no, just be you. Mm-hmm. Do what you're going to do. Yeah. Don't worry about what people are going to think or judge. That's Mark Davis eating a wing. He's got that confidence.
It's in a lot of ways when, and we'll have that combo up on the web ASAP. That was a Dr. Michael Gervais.
Right. Spelled like the comedian, not pronounced like the comedian.
He's worked with the Seahawks, worked with USC, so he's tight with Pete Carroll. And when you guys did that whole thing about not caring what others think about you, I was like, that is the key to doing a very mediocre radio show for 20 years like we've done.
Sure.
Because, like, right now, I think a lot of hosts would be like, we got to get back to sports. No, I'm talking wings and paper towels.
This is more entertaining to me.
Hashtag sick to sports.
It's more interesting to us. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, the wing thing is, like, that's a common man thing.
Of course.
There are people, I'm going to keep going on this. There are people out there who are embarrassing. You ever see someone who can't eat corn on the cob?
Yeah.
Dig in!
There's,
you don't need to leave it all over the
there's
place.
There's improper ways to eat it.
Well, was it John Mayer?
Yeah.
Was it John Mayer?
That feels right.
Taking
I think he was
face,
lying.
Face, do you think that was a Photoshop? No, no, there's a picture of it.
That's true.
It's weird. Stripping the corn, like, I don't even know how, like, I don't want to do
say
phallic
it.
Stuff.
Yeah, you can't even say it.
But, like, chugging the corn and then pulling it out with your teeth, and you're like, it might be a better method. Because then, what isn't there a picture of Robert Griffin III was, didn't he try to eat, like, a giant croissant? But it just looks like it's not a good look, and people post it all the time, and it's like, dude.
Please stop. Yeah, there's definitely an improper way to eat it, but if you don't care, you just do what you're going to do.
Don't worry about it.
Maybe life, that is the way you're going to eat it.
Life is so much more
fun.
Maybe
you like it that way better. It's just hard. It's easy to say, and I think an easy concept to agree with, but actually doing it is impossible.
I actually was not going to speak on this whole wing thing until we sat down with the doctor. He instilled some confidence.
To your point about being very relatable, too, that, you know, it's you heard what happened in that interview. They're just answering questions, and he goes to wings like, ah! They're fired up. It's relatable.
It is. Almost everyone eats wings. Well, except now for people who maybe don't have a lot of money.
And his opinions on wings.
Mm-hmm.
The proper sauce.
Yeah.
Proper spiciness. Proper way to eat it. Which wings are good and which are bad. Clearly, drum's good. Flat's bad.
Big game's coming up on Sunday. Big game bash. Check out Treasure Island. We're there on Fridays at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, but we've got parties all over the joint. Gilly's Las Vegas has a big one, real big one. Get in for less than $200. All you can drink, all you can eat. And their food is good at Gilly's. You want information? GilliesLasVegas.com, GilliesLasVegas.com. And thanks to Treasure Island and Mr. Ruffin for helping us cover live in New Orleans, Super Bowl 59. We're back with Gerald McCoy.